Good afternoon, folks. This your boy Nick with my podcast Views, produced by 456 Productions Kings. Today's subject is reparations and why they are old. I'm gonna start off by saying, you know, I've always been saying reparations has been old since I learned about history in America. Me being a Puerto Rican and black guy, going through school, realizing they shielded a lot of things, and you didn't learn a lot of things until later on in life, that how much was lied about and covered up. For example, you know, you never realized how they used to tell us Christopher Columbus discovered America, but truth be told, that wasn't the case. He never discovered America. The whole time up until the fifth grade, that's when I realized. Up until the fifth grade, and my stepdad, he was the one that enlightened me on that. He said, Christopher Columbus ain't do shit. I said, huh? I said, but in the books, and he said, yeah. He said, them books are bullshit. He said, it's not the truth. And I laughed about it. I said, he showed me his proof. I said, oh, okay. And that's when I start really doing my due diligence with information that's being given to us, especially as Puerto Rican and black, or as they would say, black and brown. But learning that, and that's when I learned about what was promised when slavery ended, 40 acres and a mule. And it was hard to digest just learning that my people were slaves, you know. My ancestors are slaves, you know. We were killed, free labor, and things of that nature. Like, it was hard to pill to swallow at a young age, realizing, like, hey, this really happened. You know, we couldn't vote. We couldn't drink from the same water fountain. We was getting lynched, murdered. Thriving communities that we had were getting burnt down, destroyed. Anytime we stuck up for our own and made sure we looked out for our own, it was infiltrated and destroyed. And it was all done by this government and racist people in this government, I'll say that. And racist in general, you know. It's still sundown towns in certain areas that a lot of people don't know exist, but it is. And it's crazy. But back to the 40 acres and the mule. When slavery ended, 40 acres and a mule was promised from Abraham Lincoln to slaves. And it never happened. Instead, the reparations that was supposed to be for slaves, African Americans, if you say, or black people, they gave it to slave owners because they lost money for not being legally able to keep slaves anymore. That's just horrible. You know, they were ripped off, never given anything as they were supposed to. Even in recent research, I don't know how true this is, but found out the five, how you say, got it together tribes of natives, Native Americans, or indigenous people, as they say now, they were slave owners too. This whole time, I thought the natives, certain natives, I know it was good natives out there that helped black people from bondage and slavery and stuff like that, but I didn't know it was five tribes that wanted to keep slaves too. And that kind of breaks my heart a little bit, because, you know, for the most part, blacks and natives kind of sympathize with one another, but it's something I don't think a lot of black people knew. And, you know, it's been surfacing for a while, and I'm going to dig more into it to find out what was the truth behind that, you know. But yeah, Native Americans or the indigenous people were slave owners too. And I know it was some black slave owners too. I know that too. So we'll throw it out there. But I got into a conversation with a guy and he said, well, why do you think America should give black people reparations? I said, plain and simple, it was promised. And the promise was not fulfilled. I said, that's like me. If I die today, tomorrow, my house automatically goes to my daughters. But that's written. That's my dying wish. That's my dying will and everything else. And let's say a family member or my children's mother sits there and tries to take it and keep the house. It's due to my daughter. So when they're of age, it's theirs. It's always going to be theirs, period. And the mom decides not to do that, give it to one of her siblings or something like that, or let her cousin have the house. It's illegal. It's promised to my daughters, and that's the only way it's set. So in retrospect, when my daughters find out what happened, or if they never knew that the house was supposed to be theirs and this, that, and third, they can legally fight for that, you know? And a lot of people don't get that. I'd be like, so what I'm saying is, it's like a lineage thing, you know? The house is left to my daughters, so my daughters are the only ones that could get it. No one else. And that's that. So the same thing goes for reparations. They weren't given to the slaves, but the descendant of slaves, we all know blacks are descendant of slaves at the end of the day. So it's just giving people what's owed to them. It's not saying we want a handout. No, I'm coming for mine. If something belongs to me, I want it. At the end of the day, if it's left to me, I want it. It's not for you or anybody else. I want it. Y'all gave reparations to Jews, which is understandable, the Holocaust and everything, but y'all had no issue giving it to the Jewish. No issue giving it to Japan and other countries as well. And we're talking about millions and billions. I know about the Holocaust survivor scholarships and everything. If your lineage is directly linked to the Holocaust survivor, you go to college for free. And my friend, she is linked to the Holocaust, Jewish wise, and she told me that. And I said, oh, snaps, never knew that. So what I'm saying is, if you had no issue giving them their reparations, why is it an issue to give black people reparations for your wrongdoing in America overall? Promises that was never fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled. And that's the issue. No one has fulfilled that promise. No one has fulfilled that constitution. That bill that was passed, you know, that basically, I'm dare to say, basically a law that was never obliged by, you know, they never did what they were supposed to do. So when I say reparations, yes, black folks deserve it because they still go through shit to this day. Okay, we gotta give you examples. Black people weren't fully able to vote till 1965. There were practices that made it difficult for black folks to vote. You had to take literacy tests. You had to have IDs. You had to have this, that, and a third just to prove, just to try to get a vote. By the time you went through got all that, the vote process was over. They made it extremely difficult. They used to threaten black folks if they voted and things like that. We had segregated schools We had segregated neighborhoods, redlining neighborhoods. Okay, a lot of people still don't think that. Oh, well, you know, this, no. Y'all subjected black folks to particular areas to keep all the black folks here. They couldn't go into nicer areas. They couldn't get into things. We had thriving communities that they destroyed. Rosewood, Black Wall Street. In Philadelphia, they had the group, I can't get the name out, but they bombed it. Because they said they were terrorists. They weren't terrorists, but they killed children. They killed men and women. You know, and they had no issue doing that. You got the Rodney Kings, the Emmett Tills. You know, so even though slavery was on for a minute, a while, even after slavery, black folks still continued to suffer. Rules that were made against them to not allow them to be able to do this, not allow them to be able to do that. Or you couldn't even act as a black person. They put blackface on white people. You know how messed up that is? You know, black people couldn't play in white sports. Black people couldn't do this. Black people couldn't that. You had to have the Negro lead, as they would say. You know, black people were only subjected to this and that, and they were looked beneath. White folks look at black people as they're underneath. They're not on the same level. They're not equal. So not only did slavery happen to black people, but, you know, KKK hunting black folks, torturing black folks, and doing all this and that, and everything else, you have to sit there and really wonder and think to yourself and be like, so y'all still continue to do all these things and say we don't deserve anything. I said, if my grandma didn't die, she'd be alive and she'd tell you that she was finally able to fully vote at 65. You know? And it's insane. I could tell you my own story about racist things that I experienced growing up. I don't think every white person is racist, because it's not the case. You know, but there are racist folks out here, and anybody can be racist. But the continuous suffering that black people have to go through, it's horrible. Like, when is it enough to stop? You don't want to pay reparations. Okay. Stop doing the discriminatory things to black folks then. Stop sitting here giving lowballing black folks with prices. It's been proven in a recent article, which was proof a black family wanted to sell their house. Unfortunately, they get a racist person. So they're selling a house. They say, oh, the house is only worth this much. And then they had their white friends come in and make it white the house up, basically. Take all the black photos out, all the blackness in, and just make it look like a normal house with, you know, a white family. And they gave the next appraiser that came quoted at the house at a way higher price than that was quoted for the black people. So you can't tell me that there's no systemic stuff that blocks black people for certain things and this, that, and a third. I mean, obviously a rich black celebrity buying a house, that's a different story, because there's no way in hell you're going to be able to get away with that. But we're talking about the average hardworking black man and woman. Nothing against black athletes, nothing to take away with them. Let me just make that clear. But so these are things people are still going through to this day. Some people to this day are overlooked for certain jobs because of their skin tone, or probably because of their name. Okay, then that's a known fact too. People wouldn't hire somebody based off their name. If it sounds like a black name, they'd be like, nah, I don't want to hire Tyshawn. Or this and that, you know? Sometimes you have people like that. Not everybody, but some you do. And these unfair practices that still continue on to this day. Police brutality is another one. And the thing is, with police brutality, it's not that I'm saying that the black folks are innocent and getting arrested. It's just how you do it. Like, if a white mass shooter can sit there and shoot up a church or shoot up a school and come out in handcuffs, and if a black person could be walking down the street and just run because he don't know what's after him, he fears that the cop may be racist and it might set him up or something, and he could be unarmed, but for him running, he could just simply be killed. How fair is that, you know? So you got to think about that too. When it comes, like, people say, well, it's not systemic, give me proof. And well, let's think about it. Compare a white man getting arrested to a black man. Or better yet, look at the justice system as well. A white man with no record is sitting there getting a misdemeanor case, probably only do 2 years. And, you know, it could just be they both doing the same crime. The black man gets arrested and they do the same crime, right? But the black man gets more time than the white guy. Why? The black man has no prior record neither. So why is it that this black person, even though I'm not saying he was right for doing the crime he did, but when you sit there and think about it, if these two people did the same exact crime in the same place, why is this black person getting more time than that white person? And this black person doesn't even have a rap sheet or nothing besides his skin color that tells you to give him more time. I said, when you sit there and think about that, you think and you be like, yo, that is messed up. When you really sit down and think about stuff like that, you're like, wait a minute, that is messed up. I give you my own personal experience in an episode that I did previously about a year and a half ago or 2 years. But it's cops and why I don't wear a red hoodie. I literally walked out my house to go to my friend's house. I was 14 at the time. Yeah, 14. And I had a red hoodie on, no shirt underneath. It was a zipper hoodie. So I literally, my hoodie was unzipped. I had jeans on, slippers, and I had a PlayStation 2 game. Excuse me. The PlayStation 2 game was Kingdom Hearts. So we sat there. Me and my boy, we played Kingdom Hearts and Zona Enders on PlayStation 2. So once we beat one game, we traded with each other, and then we beat the other game. That's what we did. So he beat Zona Enders, I beat Kingdom Hearts, and then we switch. And then, you know, that way we both get to enjoy both games. I'm walking around there to do the trade games with him. There was a guy that robbed the temple store. This is a temple store in Philadelphia. The Temple 7-Eleven store was their first building, and the guy happened to have a red hoodie, and I had a red hoodie. So I don't remember the exact description of the guy, but I was still a kid at the time, or an early teen, basically. The cop looked at me and looked at me and literally pulled his gun out and said, don't move. Put your hands against the wall and don't move. And I had a 9mm Glock, police issued weapon, to the back of my head. Now, mind you, in my mind, I'm like, wow, what the hell's going on? I don't know what's going on. And they said, the guy said, they simply said, you make one move, I will blow your fucking head off. And I felt that. I could tell his hand was on a trigger. I literally had the gun to the back of my head. Now imagine if I ran because I was scared. I was scared, but I knew not to move because I said, well, I wasn't trying to die. I heard what the cop said. But a part of me is like, damn, I'm a kid. Like, y'all come to the school and talk to the kids all the time. You know, so in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, am I not a kid no more? So, come to find out, not only did I not fit the description, the only thing that matched was a red hoodie. They had me in handcuffs about to book me. Even though I gave them the information, I told them where I live, where I just came from and everything, they were still going to book me. That's the part I didn't include in that episode. And they were still going to book me until they got the call that they got the guy. So the whole time I'm sitting in the back of the police car, these guys out here sitting there laughing, joking, and this, that, and a third. And even after they got the call, they took their time uncuffing me and everything. And they even searched me. And I ain't gonna lie, it was an aggressive search. But I guess, you know, I was supposed to be armed or something. Which is protocol, procedure, whatever. But, you know, I still thought I was a kid. In their eyes, I was an adult. So, it broke my heart because I said, damn, you know, now I see what certain people say. I'm not saying all cops is like that, but the fact that the only thing was a red hoodie, you push me up against the wall, put a gun to the back of my head, cuff me, and kick my leg as well. Like, you kick both of them, like, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. You took my information. I told you where I live. I told you where I just came from. I said, literally came from right there. And, you know, even after it was proved that I wasn't even a person, I was in handcuffs, about to get booked in the station, basically. Until someone came and said, yeah, we got the guy. It's not him. I'm like, I'm only 14. You know, obviously that's me being oblivious to how the world is, not thinking that my skin tone would really matter. But, you know, that cop that day, I could tell he really wanted to shoot me. I felt that because the way he said, if I move, I'm going to blow your fucking head off. I've seen cops stop people and all that, and I never heard a cop talk in that particular manner to a guy that didn't have shit on him. One thing, you know, but a video game. And literally, that's all I had. And that's what made it even worse. I said, man, I got a video game with you, bro. I said, look, I'm just going right here. Right here. My friend, he literally lives right around the corner. And like, I'm going right here. Like, he's, you know, play games. That's all I'm doing. And it just literally hurt. You know, it hurt. And when I thought about it, I said, damn. That's what it feels like. And some people will sit there and say, well, you know, it probably wasn't racially motivated. I said, no, it's not that. I said, it's the fact that I didn't even fit the description and only had a red hoodie. I understand being stopped, but they thought I was the guy, even though I didn't fit the description. You know, I said, I didn't fit the description at all. Not my skin tone or nothing. I'm light skin. I was very light skin. And, you know, so it just bothers me when I think about it. And I'm like, this is what certain hardworking individual black people go through on a daily basis. If someone does something and they have to be a certain color, you can be a target automatically, even if you don't look like them. They will say, hey, there's a black guy right there, go get him. It's true, and it's fucked up, and it hurts. Okay, so, and that's my own personal experience. I don't talk about it much, but here and there I do. But that's my own personal experience. So, and I tell people, I said, this is what black people go through still to this day. Even after civil rights, even after voters' rights, even after lynching was illegal and all this other stuff. Like, you think about this. If we were so equal, why did we have to fight to get certain bills passed to help our people go forward? If the playing field was even, why were all these practices done against black men? The secret experiments, the Tuskegee Airmen experiments, the government experiments and things like that. So y'all say, oh, well, blacks don't deserve this, that, and the third. No, they deserve something. And it ain't got to be in the form of money. But this government owes black people a lot. Because most of this country, I ain't going to say all of it, but most of this country was built on the back of slaves. And it's been proven countless times. Not just by black folks, but white folks too. White folks that get it, that understand it. White folks that know certain things is better for them and this, that, and the third. Yeah, a white person would tell you the truth. Yeah, I love black culture, but I don't want to be black. I know they're going to get fucked up. I know they're going to get harassed by the police. I know certain jobs they're going to get overlooked on. Any real white person that knows that shit will tell you that. So as far as reparation, it's time to pay up, man. Pay up. This is how I look at it when I think about reparations. Fuck the 40 acres and the mule. Pay one of my debts off. Pay all my student loan debt off. Or pay my house off that I own. Something. That's my 40 acres and the mule. At the end of the day, my lineage, I can run it back. Prove people, yeah, my ancestors are slaves. I can prove it. I know I can. Just like plenty of us could. So, don't tell me you can't afford this and you could send money to these other countries for the ridiculous things in this world. Part of that stimulus package we had that Donald Trump did not want to sign was they sent money to Iraq for gender studies. We have money sent to Iraq for gender studies. We're talking about millions. But you can't give money to people that been suffering to this day? Excuse me, but they have been suffering till this day, So stop with the saying, oh, y'all don't deserve this. I'm not paying this, but you had no issues, nor did you speak out against Jewish people getting reparations for the Holocaust, which was a horrible tragedy. And in the words of Louis Farrakhan is, yes, I never disregard the Holocaust. It was the greatest, most horrific, take the greatest out, one of the most horrific things ever caught on camera. On camera. But everybody know how slavery went. The things they did, the rapings, the taking their children's. Raping men in front of their wives, killing them if they couldn't do nothing, pitting them against each other to fight each other for their own survival. If they didn't fight, they died. These inventions, half these inventions that came out came from slaves. They say either you come up and figure this solution or I'll kill you. You know, that's tough, and but that's true. You know, a lot of people think that this stuff is easy, but it's not. It's a hard pill to swallow. Like, when you tell the truth about slavery, it makes you want to hurl. It makes you want to throw your insides out and just be like, wow, these racist white folks did all this? You know? And once it was supposed to end and stop, it never really stopped to this day. Everybody think, oh, your reparations was a black president. That's one of the most ignorant things you could ever say. You know? It really is. So, honestly, it's time for America to do right by its people. And that's by starting by the descendants of people that you wronged. Because y'all praised Christopher Columbus so long. And when you finally find out the truth about that man, he was a maniac. He was a homicidal maniac. Never heard, I remember the first time truly reading about him and what he did as far as feeding, using babies as bait for alligators, crocodiles, which is fun to sport. Throw them in there. See, these white folks, they were savages. Very, very savages. Bad. And people just like to overlook it and like, oh, well, that was a different point of time. No, no, no. It still happens to this day. I mean, black folks wise enough because they're not going to go through that no more. But our ancestors endured that slavery so we could be here today. And that's one hell of an honorable thing. They endured so much pain to make sure we existed today. Because if they fought back hard, too hard, we all be dead. And I wouldn't even be talking on this podcast right now. So, to my folks out there that may agree or disagree with me, I'm fine if you disagree with me. I'm fine if you agree with me. This is just my view. This is what I believe. And these are some of the reasons why I believe black people deserve their reparations. You heard me outline how I would like my reparations. I don't need a 40-acre and a mule. I don't need money compensation. Just give me a clean start. Take my debt away. Give me a clean start. That's it. Give me a fair shot in this world. That's all. Because I could sit there and bring up how black folks would get higher interest loan rates versus a white person, which was an unfair practice that was proven too. And the things I stated in this podcast so far, in this particular episode, it's all factual. It can be looked up. It can be proven. So I'm not on here trying to make stuff up and this, that, and the third. No, I'm telling you the truth. So, to my folks out there, yeah, I'm a firm believer that black folks need their reparations. And it needs to happen. So, once again, this is Nick with my podcast Views, produced by 456 Kings Productions. Thank you guys for hearing me out. I thank you guys for tuning back in. I know I've been on and off with this, but I thank you guys so much for every person that clicks a play and actually listens. Peace and blessings. God bless. Y'all have a wonderful day and be safe out here because this world is definitely crazy. God bless again.